Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
We're here with the Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. Oh, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for a new one popping up over there in a couple days. Of course, after you do visit sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and click that link. Get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we really appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan Z-Man with three E's.
Oh, all right. Well, Dan, we had a pretty interesting NASCAR race yesterday. You know, they were still at Daytona, but this time they were on the road course, and Christopher Bell gets his very first NASCAR win in, I believe it was 38 starts. A very young driver getting his very first win, and he has been good on road courses before, so it's not a huge surprise that he picked up the victory. I think the more surprising thing, and I don't know how much of the race you got to see, but Chase Elliott was easily the dominant car, and then he made a pit stop when a lot of other guys did not. That put him towards the back of the field, and he was just never able to make up that ground again. So how much did you get the watch? And I mean, what did you think, since you're still kind of in the novice stage of your NASCAR fandom?
I like the road courses. Oddly, my wife looked at me and goes, "How the hell do you pass anybody?" That cracked me up. I thought it was a fun race. It is, you know, with this kind of race, with all the movement, you do have to take your eyes off the screen for a few minutes here and there when you're like me, who gets nauseous easily. But I thought it was exciting. I watched pretty much the entire thing. May have missed a little bit somewhere in the second, between the end of the second and the third stage, beginning of third stage, but definitely got to see the ending. And I think Chase Elliott, he still landed in fifth, wasn't it? Because there was a few laps and a couple guys took themselves out.
He did work with, let me double check that, but yeah, I believe he got himself back up there, so. Let's see here what I can. Chase Elliott officially finished. Oh no! Oh, maybe did he get caught in a wreck or something late here? Because he's farther down than I remember. They have him at 21st. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, he may have. It had to have been someone else. I'm trying to find those. Here we go.
Bell picked up the win. His teammate Denny Hamlin finished third. Joey Logano, who it really looked like was going to win, you know, I thought he was just going to run away before Bell caught him. He ended up second. Kurt Busch was fourth, and then Logano's teammate Brad Keselowski finished fifth. The best news about the whole thing, Dan, is both FanDuel lineups that I put in did cash. So I did manage to win and increase my investment. you know, my 5 cent FanDuel lineup won me 25 cents and my 25 cent FanDuel lineup won me 60 cents. So I am a big spender there as we move along, but hey, as long as I'm winning money, I don't care. So, you know, the interesting thing about this, Dan, is this now puts Chris, not only Christopher Bell, but Michael McDonald, who won the Daytona 500, automatically into the playoffs. You know, when you win, you're automatically in. These really aren't the name guys that we see, and with only, you know, 16 playoff spots, you know, we've already gotten two taken away by guys that we're not used to seeing, you know, here. So this, you know, begins to set up really interesting because, you know, you're always going to have that guy who, you know, wins multiple races. And it's looking, you know, slowly but surely like we're going to have some battles here with who's going to get in. And we may see some guys we're used to seeing in this playoff on the outside looking in, depending on who else can get wins.
I mean, there are a lot of races. So, I mean, do they – I mean, obviously with 16 spots, well, is that 16 total or 16 now?
16 total. So there's only 14,
you know,
available.
14 left.
Overall. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that does make it much smaller. You know, well, even doesn't when you say that makes it even that much more competitive because you want to be the next guy to win a race.
Oh yeah. Yeah, you definitely want to get in on a win. You know, you don't want to be the one hoping there's a spot for somebody with points to get in, you know, and then just, you know, NASCAR, you know, NASCAR's been really smart about their schedule. You know, they're staying in Florida again, not at Daytona this week, but this coming Sunday, you'll love this, Dan. It's the Dixie Vodka 400. There's a sponsor for you, huh? This one will be at Homestead Miami Speedway, on Sunday. Dan, I got to tell you, I'm not a big drinker. I don't believe you're not really either unless you started since the last time I saw you. I've never heard of Dixie Vodka.
Never heard of it.
But, hey, they got themselves a race. So there you go, people. If you want to tell us about Dixie Vodka because nothing about it, 646-478-3753. that's fantastic. Yeah, you know, it ended up, you know, Christopher Bell drives for Joe Gibbs Racing, and for Saturday and Sunday, Joe Gibbs Racing actually won both races. Ty Gibbs, who is obviously related to Joe Gibbs, his grandson, won the Xfinity race on road Saturday night, and then Christopher Bell around and wins for him on Sunday. So yeah, it was a big time weekend for JGR. So that's, you know, pretty impressive that they were able to pick up both races there. So kind of rolling, and the fact that they run Toyotas, which is the limited manufacturer in racing, is a pretty big deal. So, but yeah, no, I enjoy the road courses too, and it is kind of humorous, like your wife said. How do they pass? And you can tell if you watch them. It's very interesting watching guys, and especially as they get closer to the end. You know, guys don't want to give up spots, so there's a lot of beating and banging going on, and, you know, guys are spinning all over the place, so it's quite interesting.
No, I mean, it was fun. So, the only thing that got me, you know, what got me with the announce team, when they kept talking about how the brakes were really lighting up, and then all of a sudden, I forget, I think it was Logano's car, they all went, you know, you could see all the red in the tires, and I'm like, oh, wow, you really can see it. And then it took me a few minutes, and I'm like, you idiot. That was just graphics on the TV.
Well,
it's like the NFL with the first down, you know, the first down line.
Speaking of the announce team, and God, I hope you saw this, Dan. If not, you've got to go look for it. Did you see the pre-race deal they did with your guy Clint Bowyer and Jeff Burton in the rental cars?
Yeah, so, you know, I have to ask. I don't know if you looked into it. I forgot to, but was that legit when they were ramming each other?
Yes. Yeah, that
wow.
was all totally real. And, you know, I know a lot of people hated Jeff Gordon, even though he was a great driver. It was super impressive that he was driving while holding a mirror in his hand on that road course. So, you know, he deserves a little extra credit for that. That thing, I got to tell you, you know, obviously they were redoing the Days of Thunder deal with, you know, Tom Cruise's character, and I forgot who played the other guy, but I believe in the movie he's Rowdy Gaines. But man, that was, Dan, I laughed so hard. I literally think I almost wet my pants. That's how hard I laughed. That was awesome.
My other thought about that was, if this is, you know, I'm hoping this isn't just a Fox thing, because, you know, sometimes with the different networks, you know, I don't know if NBC would kind of continue with it. I'm just realizing, Big Jack, what happened to the mothership? Mickey Mouse didn't want to play race cars anymore?
No, they sold the rights to NBC.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, you know, I'm just kind of wondering if they're going to have 38 more excellent, I don't know, what would you call that, like a pregame? You know, it reminds me of, you know, like a video montage you would see, you know, in a wrestling show, something in between, you know, timeouts at a basketball game. You know, I think it makes it fun for the game. Well, it's a race, but it makes it just adds a little bit more entertainment, and they kind of showed some different aspects of it throughout the entire race. So,
yeah, you know, unfortunately, when, you know, Fox, the coverage switches over from Fox to NBC, we'll lose Clint Bowyer and Jeff Gordon because NBC has their own commentator. You know, and that's kind of sad. You know, through two races, they've been a fantastic team. So, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, I hope whenever NASCAR's deal is up that they can get one network to take all the races, be it, you know, hopefully it'll be Fox, so we can keep Bowyer and Gordon working. I don't know. It's just one of those things. But, you know, we'll see. And, you know, the NBC guys are good. You know, Dale Jr.'s got his deal there, so we get to hear him. And I know Jeff Burton does some work for them, but, you know, it's just how it works out.
Well, you know, it would be cool if they were able to NASCAR be responsible for their own broadcast team. But I guess that's the whole point of having
a
broadcast
team. Yeah, there's a way to figure it out. So, you know, we'll, you know, again, who knows? Maybe somewhere down the line, you know, that's, you know, something he'll have to work, you know, he'll have to work out. Yeah, you know, just you know, just, good time all in all. You know, like I said, the, you know, quality race, and, you know, the broadcasts are obviously, great. You know, Mike Joy does a nice job of kind of filling the void when, you know, because neither Gordon nor Boyer are obviously polished broadcasters, so he knows, when to step in and just make sure the flow continues. So that's a good deal.
Well, they make it fun.
You
can kind of tell they're new guys, but they're definitely not new to the microphone and being in front of the camera. So,
the one thing I really noticed in just these first two races is Clint Boyer has really brought out Jeff Gordon's personality. You know, he was always looked at as kind of a wet blanket, but Boyer has really been successful in, like, opening him up and kind of showing a little more of a fun side to Jeff Gordon that, you know, a lot of people just didn't think existed. So, so that's been kind of cool. So, but all right, Dan. You know, I didn't pay too much attention to this story, so I'm hoping maybe you got a chance to it. This really isn't my cup of tea. I don't never really like to get into this, but Kevin Mather, who is now technically the former president and CEO of the Seattle Mariners because he resigned today. Apparently made some comments way back on February 5th at a Rotary Club dinner or whatever those things are, where he was talking about the not only the foreign-born players, mentioning stuff to the effect of his English, you know, their English has to get better, or, you know, his English is not, you know, tremendous, but, you know, he went on to say that Kyle Seager is overpaid. He talked a little about the Mariners' two big prospects and how they were, you know, they wanted nothing to do with signing extensions. So, you know, obviously the Seager overpaid stuff and the extension stuff isn't that big of a deal. Talking about somebody else's English, though, especially when the game is international, is a huge deal. And it cost this guy his job. So did you have an opportunity to look into this anymore or get any more actual info out of it, because it's really just quite a bland story I'm looking at. And while his comments are stupid, what they have him quoted here as saying isn't all that inflammatory. So did you maybe find something more on this?
You know, I was reading an article earlier today that just the writer didn't even see, and this is when you know you've got something that's just kind of baffling. You know, you're kind of, I'm not saying you're stuttering, but you're at a loss of words where you don't know how to explain it. And I think when you've got a polished writer, and he just says, oh, the hell with it. I can't even write a story about this. Here's the entire transcript. Make up your own opinion. Kept reading on and reading on, and I just really couldn't, you know, maybe my brain was searching for keywords that, you know, should pop out and should ruin this guy's life, but I didn't read the whole thing because it got a little monotonous. I guess the way he talks about players, but the way the players are seen and the way they feel and the way they're treated, and, you know, this is essentially what I got out of it was he was making the point that and putting it out there that the ownership side of things views the players as objects more than less than people. you know, I don't know if that was what you're supposed to take away from the whole thing, but that's what I took away from what I had read from the transcript. Pretty boring stuff, to be honest with you. But, you know, and while I can see why people would be upset by that, Big Jack, you and I both know, I think once you hit a certain age, you know, the majority of the people that would be upset about this are people who I would essentially, you know, not to stereotype, but in your 20s, young, maybe never been a part of a bigger organization type deal. So, and, you know, and it's probably not the best thing to hear, especially for an individual in his type of position. SportsTimeRadio@hotmail.com. I'll take the job. Big Jack would be my special advisor to the team of whatever other titles he needs to have on there to get you to pay for everything to move him out there. But, you know, you put all that together, and it's the truth. And I think that's where, you know.
I'm looking. Are these the quotes you saw, Dan? He said, and I'm going to say I'm tired of paying an interpreter. When he was a player, we paid Akiyama X, but we also have to pay $75,000 a year to have an interpreter with him. His English suddenly got better. His English got better when we told him that. And then he goes on to say about Julio Rodriguez, who's the 9th overall prospect in their system. He says Julio Rodriguez has got a personality bigger than all of you combined. He's loud. His English is not tremendous. Now, you know, Dan, I mean, obviously they're not the best comments in the world, but from a financial standpoint, I could understand them wanting them to have Akiyama learn English because it would save them $75,000 a year. And I mean, unfortunately, you know, we've seen it many times with guys at the majors when they come from a Latin American country that their English isn't great to start out because it's their second language.
Yeah.
So did he, I don't get I don't get the problem here. Maybe I'm just not that sensitive or whatever, but I mean, it doesn't appear as though he said anything racial. He was really just talking about the language barrier.
Yeah, but in today's world, it's coming off as he's putting blame, you know, it's almost like faulting them for coming here, so to speak.
And I mean, the one thing I do really like about what he said is he actually points out, you know, it's been looking like Jared Kelnick and Logan Gilbert will make the Mariners as rookies this year. And Mather just flat out came out and said that neither of them will start the season with the team so they can manipulate their major league service time and keep them under club control longer. So I love that he just flat out came out and admitted that, you know, because we've heard for years, what was the BS with Bruce Bryan? Oh, he's not quite ready yet. You know, he needs the 2 weeks of AAA to get ready. You know, so, I mean, we've heard the BS every year from teams about why this prized rookie can't start the season with the team when we all know why. And I love the fact that this guy just admitted it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, see, and that's kind of where I was getting at with treatment of the players and not just, you know, the foreign-born ones, but just inside the system as a whole. I mean, at the end of the day, the team doesn't function without the players. The player, you know, but at the same time, it doesn't function without the operations side of things, you know, day-to-day business, and bring that all together so everyone has a part to play in and get paid multi-million dollars, even if you're considered to be overpaid by them. But, you know, it sucks. Yeah, it sucks joining a world where you realize that you're part of the wheel. And, you know, when you're a spoke in the wheel, and at some point, you're going to break. And what are they going to do? Remove you and put in someone new. So, you know, it's just the reality.
You know, I
think people don't like to hear it when it comes out like that, though.
You know, I guess when you add this to the fact that apparently Mather was also involved in two allegations of harassment with two former female employees, you know, maybe enough was enough and it was just time to go. So, you know, he gets to save face by resigning.
Yeah.
All in all, I mean, I don't think what he said was inflammatory as people, you know, because like I heard them talking about it on the MLB network, and I was looking for quotes that were racist and derogatory, and, you know, I thought the screen was just going to light up.
Yeah.
It's really just talking about these players' English. So, yeah, I you know, and again, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I just, you know, the way I'm reading it, I don't see it as the nightmare people made it out to be, but I guess in today's world, it's something that they have issues with.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess what you're kind of getting to is he made some dick comments. I don't have any other better word for it. But, you know, it's not to the extreme from what we heard during the election season.
Yeah, you know, and to be fair, Kyle Seager is overpaid. He's had a horrible last couple of years, paying him close to $20 million a year. So, you know, he definitely fits in overpaid category. Obviously, he's not the only major league player to be overpaid, but, you know, he may be the only Mariner. So, you know, I'm not going to argue with him on that part. I mean, obviously, if you're Kyle Seager, you don't want to hear that from the guy who at the time was your president and CEO, but he's not lying to you, Kyle. You gotta get your whatever it was back that got you that big contract. Prove to the world you're worth it. So, I don't know what else to tell him, but yeah, you know, we're looking at, you know, Seager's last 3 years. He hit .241 last year. .239 the year before that, .221 back in 2018. Ever since he hit his career high homers of 30 in 2016, his total has been dropping. So, you know, I mean, you're not, you know, you're just not performing to where the level of your contract is, and you know, don't be surprised if they buy you out next year instead of paying you the $15 million, unless you have a year similar to 2016, which is, I think, when you got the big deal. So, you know, I mean, again, nothing against Kyle Seager. You know, I hope he does well, but like I said, let's face it, Mather wasn't lying. So. You know, just one of those unfortunate things that seem to happen quite a bit in today's world, because you have to be very careful what you say and how you say it. So,
yeah, I mean, old white guys have to really watch their mouth these days.
Well, I'm trying. Okay, I'm actually surprised I've gotten us in more trouble here. With what goes on, but you know, I've been pretty good, so we'll see how it. You know, while we're in baseball, Dan, it seems like there's, You know, for a while we had Trevor Bauer and George Springer to talk about. Then Springer signed, so we had Trevor Bauer to talk about. Now Bauer's locked in with the Dodgers, and it appears that the only free agent left to talk about is Jackie Bradley Jr. You know, again, there were a lot of reports that the Mets were interested, but they signed a couple outfielders, so it looks like they're out. You know, today popped up the fact that the Brewers were apparently in on Jackie Bradley here, Dan, but my question becomes, where the hell do they play him? Because you're looking at a team that, you know, you have Avisail Garcia, who had a really good year for you last year in the shortened season. He's in right. You got Lorenzo Cain coming back in center. And then you got Christian Yelich in left field. The Brewers are in the National League. There's no DA. They could probably use a third baseman, but I don't believe Bradley plays that position. Why would Milwaukee make this signing, Dan? It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Because they have someone that they want to trade Lorenzo Cain to.
They might. Does he have a no-trade clause? I would guess he might. He got that big deal.
I mean, why else would they want to move him? Or
Well, I was hoping you had a better answer because I'm just basically clueless when I, you know, when I look at, you know, when I look at it, I'm obviously Yelich is tied up till 2029. Cain has 2 years left on his deal, and Garcia has this year and an option year.
Well, with Cain, I mean, if you could move him, I mean, wouldn't it be worth it to knock off? I don't know, what is it, $33 million over the next two seasons? He only has the option to block a trade for he gets to block, it's a five-team trade block, so I don't know if it's, you know, specific. You know, teams are, they just go, hey, what about these 10 teams? And he goes, five, no. Yeah, I don't know how that works, actually, and then, but the downside, though, is he has a deferred money. So he gets $5 million a year from 23 to 27. So I would assume they'd still be responsible for that. So I don't, you know, looking at that scenario as to why they would want to go after Bradley, right there, I don't know if it makes that much sense. Because, yeah, you get rid of $33 million off your books, but how many years is that? Like 5 years, so at $5 million, so you're still paying $25 million. And then what would Jackie Bradley be going for?
Yeah, well, that, you know, that would be the next question. I mean, you know, I get that Cain is, you know, he's going to be 35, but, you know, I think he played five games last year before opting out, so he should come into camp healthy. You know, there shouldn't be any issues with that. He has already said that he plans on playing. He's not going to opt out again like Ian Desmond just did for the second year in a row. So I don't understand the, you know, idea. I mean, yeah, okay, you add Bradley, who is probably the worst hitter out of the four. He would be the best defender, but he would also be the worst. So I don't know. I don't get the trade-off. You know, like, I don't think he improves your outfield or your team enough for you to make this move. You know, I mean, the only thing that gets better is your bench, because you would be probably, I guess, what you would be looking for Avisail Garcia on your bench. So obviously that would become stronger, you know, unless you've heard rumors that they're going to add the DH before the season starts. It would be really stupid for the Brewers to make this signing. You know, I just don't get it. I don't think it helps them get closer to the Cardinals. It's baffling, but you know, I understand, you know, that's what you do, and you just gotta kinda go with it. Oh, and I can't find what I was looking for. Where did it go, Dan? Oh, well. Well, I mean, do you think he eventually ends up signing there with him?
I don't know. I mean, he got paid $11 million last year with the Red Sox. So, I mean, I don't know what he's looking for. So it'll be interesting. He'll probably end up being on the Cubs or something.
Well, you know, the Brewers did re-sign former Cub Brett Anderson for one more year. So there you go. You'll have him going back there. So we'll see how long he can stay healthy, because that's always the deal with Anderson. It does look like he'll probably end up being their fifth starter. So that's a pretty good spot for him at this point. I'm looking here, Dan. It looks like the other teams involved here, and you mentioned the Cubs. They are on this list. You can add the Red Sox. They still have the Mets on this list, even though I think they're out. They have the Phillies along with the Giants and the Astros. Are you buying one of those as where he ends up?
I mean, wouldn't you say it's kind of possible to see him in San Francisco or down in Houston?
You know, I think he would be a really good fit in San Francisco. You know, his defense would play really well in that big outfield. I don't know. You know, I know Houston is, you know, they could use him because, you know, they're planning on already going with Kyle Tucker in the outfield. So to have to play two young guys, you know, in the outfield like that might be tough, because it would be, Straw would be their option in center field. So Bradley makes a lot of sense there. Obviously, you know, he would get to go to a winner. Unfortunately, we know San Francisco isn't going to be able to do much in that division. But I like him as a fit better in San Francisco. But I could definitely understand why Houston is in on him.
Well, they would kind of look for a guy like that, I felt like. So, you know, just kind of adding to what you said, though, San Francisco is a great landing spot with all that space out there. And no more Andrew McCutcheon. I know it's been a couple of years.
And, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, to be fair, he would be a really good fit with the Cubs, too. He would definitely help out. Nothing against Ian Happ, who played really well for them last year. But Bradley is far and away the better center fielder. It would be interesting if the Cubs signed him, how they would juggle things, because right now that's where Hop is penciled in to start. I don't know if he'd take over at second base back to that super utility role that they originally had him penciled in for. So, you know, we would have to see how that works. But, you know, Bradley would definitely be an upgrade in the Cubs lineup. So, but I don't see the Cubs laying out that kind of money, because you got to figure Bradley's going to want what, 15 at least.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. You know, you figure he's most likely not going to want to settle for a 1-year deal. So, I don't know who would get the option, but if it was a 1 year, it would definitely have to have an option on him.
Yeah, and that may be the holdup with him is the fact that my guess is he probably wants more than 1 year, and the way teams just are now, and especially at this point, I don't know how many multi-year deals are out there, so that and again that may be part of the hang-up, so. We'll have to see how it kind of shakes out or where he kind of ends up. All in all, depending on what the offers are, maybe it won't be too big of a surprise if he goes back to the Red Sox. He's been there his entire career. Maybe they're looking at their outfield going, yeah, we could probably bring him back on a 1 year deal or a 2 year deal or, whatever it works out. Cause I know the guy they just acquired for Ben and Teddy, that Frenchie Cordero, just went on the COVID list. So he's already a little behind the eight ball. I guess we'll have to see, but he seems to be the big free agent name left hanging out there, Dan, even though I am still curious why your guy Jake Odorizzi doesn't have a deal. I am just clueless. With all the pitchers that got signed here in this kind of late rush, that Odorizzi is still the guy hanging out there. It just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. Can you kind of help me out, and what's the deal here with him?
I mean, is there something wrong with his numbers over the last 2 years? Or?
Well, he was hurt last year.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, still, when you think about it, I mean, he's as far as I know, he's proven to be healthy. So I don't know. Like the Mets went with Tijan Walker. So I was like, well, okay, he is just 28. I guess I can see you wanting to take a look at him. But, apparently as of right now, the only team that has reached out to Odorizzi lately has been the Cardinals.
Oh, they should jump on him. I mean, if he's with a good team, I think he would do fairly well. 2019 was a pretty solid season for the Twins, and he went 15-7 that year with 178 strikeouts. Of course, if this was 10, 15 years ago, you'd be looking at a guy who tosses 200 strikeouts a year. So you have to kind of take that into account. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 season over 150 strikeouts. So, there's no reason he shouldn't be signed right now. And
I know with the exception of last year, he made his starts.
Yeah.
So,
throughout an average, I'd say he's almost around 170 innings.
Yeah, which is fantastic in today's game.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, there are so many teams that can use him, and you just wonder, what the holdup is. And unfortunately we don't know. I mean, maybe he's asking for too much money or, maybe again, he wants multiple years. So, we're just going to have to kind of wait and see, if he catches on somewhere. But yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just one of those, one of those fun, fun things we get to talk about over and over, wondering why he's not here, and then when he finally lands a team. So, I did get your tweet, Dan, that showed that your fantasy basketball team won. But what I did not get a tweet was on how your fantasy hockey team did. So what went on there?
Damn you!
Oh, and I did hear Dan. Yeah, you were. Did you? I was afraid maybe you had to take. I heard a bark a little.
Yeah, that was part of it. I didn't do well. It was a bad loss. So why don't you go about your team?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't do much. Well, actually, let me see. I don't know how you did. Let me find your team. You actually did better than I did. You were 7-10-1. I was 5-11-2. So I did not have the best of, just one of those wonderful situations. I want to double check here.
Nothing works.
Yeah. I had a couple weeks where my team scored. I was having a problem scoring. And I had a couple weeks there in a row where they started to score for me, and then last week I went back in the tank. So I'm just not getting – well, here's the funny thing, Dan. I won shots on goal, but I lost goals. So that'll tell you how my guys are shooting. So, it's just – one of those situations where I'm getting the shots, but my damn guys just aren't putting the puck in the net. And then here I really thought I had like one of the best goalie groups, and I only managed to win one category this week. I just got trounced in goalie. So I was just like,
the other thing that keeps happening to me, though, Big Jack, is why is the results in here? I'll miss a day because of the postponements. And then I have it all set, and then I just, I blank on it. I guess I'm still used to old hockey, where there wasn't a game every freaking night, and I'm not going to complain about it. It's just, it's one of those mental things you just got to get back used to, get used to it. But that's what's throwing me off, too, is there's days where I'm like, I just did this yesterday, and then, they're on the ice right now, just kicked off 2 minutes beforehand, and I forgot to set my lineup, but it did work out in my last one because no one really did anything and everyone was negative, I didn't feel as bad, but maybe that's why it was only 7-10. And I think had I put that day in, I would have lost a point for sure because I would have had -3. Maybe I would have kept it. I don't know. So it's just hard right now with hockey. It's like you think you have something going, and then, like you said, the shots on goal – but you lost the goal.
Yeah, just odd. And, and the one thing that's really getting me with the NHL is, I know they're trying to play the schedule, but, man, they've got a lot of postponements.
Yeah.
Every day I look at my lineup, there's a game postponed, and in some cases more than one. And that can really, really affect you when it comes to guys just getting playing time. So, obviously they need to be on the ice to get you those stats, and if they're not on the ice, well, then you're in trouble. So, yeah, you know, it's difficult. You know, but luckily, you know, like you, I had better luck with basketball. I actually went 10-3 this week.
Nice.
So I had, you know, I had a really good week. I was able to close the gap a little bit. The guy leading my division just happens to be the number one team in our league. So I was able to close the gap on him a little bit. So yeah, that, you know, that was very helpful. You know, I just, you know, my team has had a few good weeks, and I got to keep it rolling. And luckily, I was on the market and I was looking for trades. I was ready to give up on Jimmy Butler. And then I decided I couldn't find anything I liked, so I decided to hang on to him for one more week. And he had a really good week. So I'm hoping maybe he's healthy and over. I know, I think he had a COVID issue. I don't believe he had it, but I think he was a contact guy. So, you know, I just kind of dumb luck there saved me. So I'm hoping that, you know, he keeps rolling, start playing better, and, you know, he's got to pick up a little of the slack because I believe your guy Goran Dragic is hurt. So, well,
yeah.
You know, we'll see if that keeps rolling.
Not
but yeah,
to bounce back for 1 second to back to hockey. You're in 14th place, and I'm in 16th.
Yeah.
You got me.
Yes, we're doing much better in basketball where I'm 5th and you're 6th. But you have a pretty good week, I think, to pass me because I'm playing the 4th place while you are facing the 11th place team. So, hopefully,
I'm a secret squirrel.
I need to keep playing well because I need to keep winning. I think I've won 3 weeks in a row, so it would be nice to keep winning. But we'll see how it goes. Hopefully, it works out for me. And, you know, for whatever reason, my team just shoots a terrible percentage. But I guess if that's the biggest negative I can deal with it, I shoot a terrible percentage and I turn the ball over way too much. But I kind of knew I was going to turn the ball over a lot when I saw the team I drafted. I knew I was just kind of in for it then. But you know, that's how it goes. You know, and just once, and I don't know what the deal is with this guy, Dan, but I would love to look at my lineup just one time and have Cam Reddish not be a game-time decision. I think every game since I drafted him, since the beginning of the season, he's been a game-time decision. So it's just like, come on, are you playing or are you not playing? You know, put him on the frickin' injured list so he can at least recover. But, yeah, you know, and, like, luckily they have a game tomorrow, so I'm hoping, you know, there's an update in his status and he's no longer a game-time decision. But every time I look, there he is. So, you know, kind of like, ah, great. I don't need to be juggling injuries.
No, because I have 2 of them right now. It's not fun.
Yeah. You know, that's the last thing I wanna start dealing with there is, you know, dude, you know, is this guy hurt? Is that guy hurt? Please, no, don't be hurt. So I had enough of that. Early on, my injury list filled up, but I'm finally getting guys back off it. So I'm hoping that, you know, that you know, that I'm safe and secure for a little bit. You know, my team's been doing well. I don't want to screw it up, you know, with the way it's went. But I did, you know, I know we're running a little down on time here, but, you know, obviously, you know, you saw that Carson Wentz got traded. So who's the Bears quarterback next year, Dan? What's going to go on there?
Oh, I thought he wasn't coming here no matter what.
Well, he wasn't, so he went to Indianapolis, so the Bears aren't going to get him. But, you know, obviously they're going to need a quarterback. So, who is it? Who's it going to be? Which one of your guys is it going to be?
They're going to re-sign Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, yeah, you're on that bandwagon. I know there are some people who believe that. You know, that Mitchell is going to be the guy to come back and they're going to have the, you know, have the competition. So,
I mean, it,
you know, and I
yeah. In all likelihood, it is possible, but I don't see any other option that they would have.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there are people have to get over the, oh, my God, the Bears are going to trade for Deshaun Watson. That's not going to happen. So, you know, I just don't see that. You know what I mean? There are a lot of predictions. I know in Todd McShay's latest mock draft, he's the Mickey Mouse Network, one of their draft analysis guys. He has the Bears trading up so they could draft Mac Jones from Alabama. There are a lot of people that think that's the route they're going to go. Of course, we know what happened the last time the Bears traded up to get a quarterback. There are also some reports that the Bears may have some interest in Sam Darnold because there's been talk that the Jets may be willing to move on from him. That would be pretty stupid unless the Jets could get a big-time haul to deal him. Otherwise, they'd be starting over with a new quarterback, because they would have to use the second pick in the draft to take one, and you're not going to get the best guy because Trevor Lawrence is going number one. But as we know, NFL teams do a lot of stupid stuff when it comes to quarterback. You know, I had an interesting idea for the Bears that I think might help them for a couple years, Dan. What about Cam Newton?
He's too high profile.
He's what?
Too high profile.
You think so? You know, I mean, I know he didn't have a great year with New England, but they could probably get him at a really good price. You know, imagine if you bring him in for 2 years, you could draft a guy for him to sit behind. You wouldn't have to take the guy in the first round. You know, you could use that pick to get an offensive lineman, which you really need. So then, you know, you could draft a guy in the second or third round, try to develop him behind a guy like Cam for, you know, a couple years and see if maybe he could be your successor instead of all this other BS about, oh, we're going to go get Deshaun Watson, or we're going to go get, you know, Sam Darnold or whoever they are.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, probably. But I thought it was a better idea than some of the stuff that's, you know, been out there. So it made a little more sense to me for the Bears to do that. But you're wrong. They're morons.
I would love to entertain the idea.
Remember, podcast is available for you to use on one.